Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're having a wonderful time this week, really celebrating the graces of Easter, what the Lord has won for us in his passion, death, and resurrection, pouring out his grace, and really no better way to do it than talk about some of his closest friends, the saints. And we've been talking all week and with our guest, Sean Breeden. Sean's done a fantastic job kind of unfolding the stories of St. Joan of Arc and Thérèse of Lisieux, their unique journeys, but also how much they had in common and the wonderful way the Lord was working in their lives and continues to this very day, the fruitful yes that they made and their trust in the Lord. And Sean is the general manager of sales for Ave Maria Radio, so he's here a lot, but he also does a great deal of ministry, does a lot of different talks. He's a tremendous teacher. I know if you've been listening to the program this week, you'll say, yes, he is. So, Sean, how can, first of all, welcome back.
Thank Sorry. You. Yeah.
If people wanted to come to Zimbabwe and share this story or no, to tell the story anywhere, how could they reach you?
Yeah, there's one of the easiest places to reach me is therèseandjoan.com, but also just my name, seanbreeden.org. There's a link there to send me a message.
You know, this is so interesting the way you've done it. I mean, this could work for junior high school kids, for high school kids, for college people, for grandparents and everybody in between.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's a storytelling. It's storytelling is really what's going on in a beautiful way, but you're able to penetrate the central, some really central themes that are very, very important that really give life.
Yeah, just a few weekends ago, we did the first ever Thérèse and Joan women's retreat. And like I said, it's always funny because I'm like, words of St. Michael, I'm with men. And then they're like, Thérèse and Joan. And someone from the radio approached me and said, you should do a women's retreat. I'm like, why would I do a women's retreat? Mm. Like, because women care a little bit more about Thérèse and Joan than men do. I'm like, blasphemy.
Yeah.
No, it's like, obviously, these are saints for the church. But I really believe they have a lot to teach us. I mean, the women were very profoundly impacted. But again, ironically, what they walked away with more than anything was the truth that they're beloved daughters of God.
Yeah.
In the midst of all the great stories about how amazing, you know, they really assimilated the truth that, okay, God is, I can actually talk to God in prayer, and I can actually be sent by God on a mission. Maybe that mission is to my family or to a ministry at my parish or to Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
But that was my prayer, and I really feel like God answered. He's been doing amazing things through these testimonies. So,
very good. So today, where do you want to lead us on the journey today?
Yes, today I basically saved all of my favorite things for last. This is the dessert.
Okay,
if good. You may recall, in our last episode, Joan of Arc was burned at the stake at age of 19, and Thérèse of Lisieux at age 24 died an excruciating death from tuberculosis. And I would hate to leave you there, Peter, because because that's pretty heavy stuff. Yeah. So Bishop Pierre Cachon was the bishop that presided over Joan of Arc's trial. As a kind of reward for his faithfulness in that political trial, he was awarded to become the bishop of the Diocese of Lisieux. His cathedral was St. Pierre's Cathedral, and he built a side chapel. Some say it was in reparation for what he did to Joan of Arc. We don't have any official evidence of that. But he made a side chapel called Our Lady's Chapel, or the Chapel of the Virgin. And it was in this chapel that Thérèse of Lisieux went to daily mass growing up.
My goodness, what a connection.
This very chapel where Pierre Cachon is actually buried in an unmarked grave. And today, of course, every sign is Thérèse sat here one time. Thérèse went to confession here, like, you know, and then Pierre Cachon is off in a corner, buried underground with no label, unmarked. And so in this place, there's statues of Thérèse. There's actually a statue of Joan of Arc, and there's no homage being paid to Pierre Cachon. So kind of the justice of God over time, I find to be fascinating. But what I want to focus on now is across Thérèse's writings, 6, 7, 8 times at least, probably more that I haven't seen, she keeps saying this phrase. She says, God never gives us desires that he cannot realize. It's a pretty bold statement. Her contention is that if God wells something up within you with a purity of heart and a purity of intention for your own holiness, for the salvation of souls. He's welling that desire up within you because he wants to satisfy it. Okay, so this is very much in line with Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Therese had an amazing way of just asking God for really big things with humility of heart and a track record of God actually giving them to her. Obviously, most of these after her death. But I just want to run through some of these to encourage our listeners to ask God for great things, especially for the grace to be a saint for him. And it's not prideful to ask God to be a saint because you can't do it on your own.
Yeah.
If you're a saint, it's because God is doing it through you and you're cooperating with him, yes, but it's all grace. It's all his grace that we're responding to. So Joan of Arc, one of my favorite stories is when I found this in the online in the archives of the Carmel of Lisieux, I was just astounded. I'd never heard it. In March of 1897, a few months before her death, she prayed a novena to St. Francis Xavier with the intention that she could use her heaven to do good on earth. So she intentionally asked for this grace in connection with Francis Xavier. In
the great Jesuit missionary.
Yes. Yeah. And 30 years later, she was declared the co-patron of missions with Francis Xavier.
Oh.
Xavier, who baptized 30,000 people over 5 years in 11 countries, I believe. She who never went on a mission trip, but had a love for souls and a deep desire to go to the ends of the earth. If you read some of her quotes, we don't have time for right now, but you know, she says, I want to go to all the continents all at once till the end of time. she cannot have enough words to say how much she wants to evangelize. And the story of that is actually quite fascinating. I don't have time for the full version, but essentially there were these Oblates of Mary Immaculate in Hudson Bay in Canada on the Arctic, and they were ministering to the Inuit and having no progress whatsoever. And they were about to shut down the mission. The bishop was about to shut it down. And they said, give us another year. And then mysteriously, two envelopes arrive in the mail anonymously. One is a story of Therese's life. And another one is a packet of dirt from under Therese's coffin when she was exhumed in 1910. And they came up with the most foolproof evangelization plan ever known to man. They said, okay, bring our Inuit brothers in here. You're going to preach. I'm going to sprinkle some of this coffin dirt in their hair. What could go wrong?
Oh,
so they do this, you know, ridiculous plan. And then these three Inuit men, they say, we were wrong to defy you. Will you please help to forgive our sins? We want ourselves, our wives and children all to be baptized.
Wow.
And multiple years later, after Therese was canonized, the bishop of the area said he proposed and got hundreds of bishops from across the world after this to say Therese should be the co-patron of missions. And that's how it got off the ground. Why else would you make someone never went on a mission trip patron of missions? But
oh, that's quite an evangelistic strategy.
It is. It
said,
is.
I'm waiting.
That's why we haven't seen more conversions, Peter. We've been following the wrong plan over here.
Find out which saint is being dug up, you know, his casket and grab the dirt and go. You know.
Right. It's just, but just their childlike faith. I think God honors that.
Sure.
You know, like
sure.
We'll do anything. We want these beautiful men of God to know they're loved. And they're like, we haven't tried this yet. let's try it. But Therese, she asked for the grace of evangelizing souls, the grace of using her heaven to do good on earth. And God said, that sounds good. She said, I want to spread this idea, this notion that's as old as the gospel, and yet people have forgotten that we're children of God. I want to spread the little way of spiritual childhood. And he says, okay, I'm going to give you the highest selling autobiography of all time, and I'm going to make you a doctor of the church. Like I think at this point it's either 38 or 39, they keep adding doctors on me. But you're talking people like St. Jerome, who translated the Bible into Latin, Thomas Aquinas, and then Therese is just astounding. But she asked for it.
Yeah.
She asked. And I think God is really asking us, do you really want to be holy? Because if you ask me, with a pure heart, leaving it all on the table, not with any fear of man, fear of what's my reputation going to be like, or what are the ripple effects in my life. God, I'm all in. I'm all in for you. God is asking us to pray that prayer.
Let me ask you this, Sean. When you say with a pure heart, do you mean like a single-mindedness and focus? Because I think when people say, well, my heart's not pure, like that's part of my problem or whatever. Yeah. I'm a sinful person. I don't have to have a perfect heart to make that. I just have a sincere, genuine, sincere whole heart with whatever you got.
No, that's a good point. Even Therese would say, even if I'd committed all of the crimes in the world, I would still have the same confidence in God. Because we talked about kind of on the break, she did not put any heed in her own ability to be virtuous. Hmm. She said, God, all my merits are yours. I have the cross. I don't need to strive, and I need to cooperate with grace, but I know that if I was to add up all my merits and my prayers and my virtues, it's never going to be enough to be holy.
Yeah.
As she said in this quote from Story of a Soul, she said, when I think of the great saints, they seem like the top of a mountain hidden by clouds, and I am being trampled as a grain of sand on the ground.
You can see why people who read it go, man, I love this
one. I love this.
She's right? Great, because I can totally relate, you know, or something.
Yeah. Right, but she had the same feeling that we all have.
Yeah.
But she said, God, if you're really a good father, and I believe you are, then that means you love me as your child. And when I pray and say, God, not that I have it all together, but God, I know that if you were to just pick me up and bring me closer to you, that I could become the saint of God that you've called me to be. I know I can't do it on my own. No matter how hard I try with my willpower, I know I can't do it. It's just like John 15 is, without you, we can do nothing. But what does it say next? It says, with you, when we abide in you, we bear fruit that will last. Or Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's only when we say, Jesus, here's all of my weakness, we allow ourselves to be filled with his strength and with his love. And I think that's the call of both Joan and Therese, that they're saying, like, if we only did what we were qualified for, we wouldn't have left the house. Like, just realize it's not that you have to be qualified to be a saint or even to evangelize. You just have to realize how much you need God to say, I am a beloved child of a good father. And Father, I put myself in your hands to make me the man or woman of God you've called me to be.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It's actually a good way to end the week, and really inspired by what you brought to us this week. I think our guests, our listeners are going to love it and tell others about it. And our friends, you can tell your friends about it. They didn't have a chance to listen to it live. They can go to our website at renewalministries.net, go to the Ave Maria radio app. You could download that and listen to it whenever you want to and send it to other people. And I don't know if there's any other way to listen to it, but at least those are two easy ways to get it. And I think friends would be happy. And I think your kids actually would love to hear this. And these stories are so enriching, and it gives so much hope. The saints are light. They're hope for us because they're living witnesses to the promises that Jesus has made to us of what happens when we say yes to him. God bless you, friends. Hope you can join us again next week.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.